Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hey there, Nomad of Nowhere fans! Welcome back to the Nomad of Nowhere after show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are doing a special season one recap, and we have a couple very special guests joining us tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now let the buzz
begin.
I can't believe we
season I can one absolutely.
Yeah,
look,
you know what?
No one told me no, all right? I suggested it, and no one told me no.
I wasn't sure about this at first, but I regret nothing.
Dab it on Stevie Wonder.
anyway, hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome back to the Nomad of Nowhere After Show. Welcome back to our special Season 1 recap. Let's not waste any time. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. I'm Megan Salinas, and to my left is the fantastic Mark Donica.
Hit me.
So it is. To his left, the lovely Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hello, hello.
To her left, the lovely Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
And joining us in studio tonight are two fantastic guests. We have returning guest star champion and storyboard artist Molly Flood.
I am here. It is me.
It you.
It's me.
It you.
And we have the one and only voice of Red Manuel, Alejandro Saab.
Hello. Oh, yeah! That's right. It is me, Red Manuel.
Do it.
That was button number two.
Come on, button number one.
Really? Shut up, Red Manuel.
Thank you.
No respect.
After an entire season, no respect. Well, anyway, hey there, fans. We are going to be covering the live chat. Katie's got you covered there. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RTReviews.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, if you have any questions for our fantastic guests, be sure to put them in either the live chat or the hashtag. We will do our best to fit them into the show amidst all the shenanigans. So, yes, we are here talking about season one tonight, guys. But before we get the ball rolling on the show, we have a quick announcement for you all.
Yes, we just want to let you know that our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi. There's no network that works harder to please television fans. We need your help, though. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. So by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't you worry about that. They're optional. Though, I mean, you probably should, because you find out exactly. You'll get emailed when we go live. So hit that subscribe button right now for AfterBuzz TV Animation. Check out some of our other channels as well. Sci-fi, wrestling, and sports for no reason other than I am on a show on that. But let us know that you did so in the comments, and we will shout you out on air. But for now, thank you for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
We love you all. You're the best. So yeah, to our lovely guests, guys, how does it feel now that season one is finally done and finally out there for everyone to see?
Good.
I saw all the memes that you put up like the day the last episode went public, and I just cackled.
Those are months old. I have a folder that I had to like dust off, and I was like, I can finally do these now.
I knew this day would come.
The friendship with Toth ended. Nomad is my friend now. Yep, that is months old.
Those are things I'm working, and I'm like, I have an idea, and then I'll just pull that stuff, and then I'll just like throw it into the work Slack, and then I'll get a haha, and then later I'll hear like everyone be like, oh yeah, you made that meme. I'm like, but no one reacted to it.
It's all right, I did.
Thank you. Respect, all right?
Respect. That's what it is.
Yes, Alejandra, how does it feel now that we've seen all of Red Manuel for season one?
Man, I'm really glad he was in season one. Oh, man. It's a blast because I've been a fan of Rooster Teeth for a while, and this has been like a character that I never thought I'd be. just like somewhat the villain, but also like comic relief. So it was super fun. It was super fun to get to see everything.
Yeah, it's a very fun blend. And it's such a treat to have both of you guys here in the studio. But Alejandro, you're actually in a lot of the shows that we cover on this network. Oh. My Hero Academia, Ruby.
I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Comparing your character from My Hero to Red Manuel, both lawmen. Technically.
Of course.
Red Manuel, a lawman.
Yeah, one lawman. Where did you pull from to get to Red?
Oh, for Red? Man, when I got the audition, I immediately saw the potential because it was like, right after Coco had come out, so I already had an Antonio Banderas impersonation. So I was like, all right, well, what if I mix it with Ernesto de la Cruz? And then it's just a mishmash, and that is Red Manuel. So I'm just like, this is my calling. If I didn't get the part, I'd be like, man, I really don't know what they want. So I was really happy I got the part.
Just imagine you sitting at home going, what did they do? Sort of a desperado.
Oh, my God. I waited. I was like, who got Red Manuel? Who did? I don't know. But I wanted it so bad. That was like a role. Like, usually when it comes to auditions, I was like, okay, yeah, I understand why that person got it, that person got it. But with Red Manuel, I was like, who got it?
Tell me.
Speaking of your other roles, too, it's really fun to go to your Twitter and see, like, all of your characters. Like, you see Igarashi from Kiss Him, Not Me. Yeah. And then Red Man.
I have to. It's a staple.
Your eye just sort of trades right to him, like, I want to know more about this immediately.
Well, Red Manuel is kind of a hello character.
Ladies.
That's right.
He demands your attention and respect. And he had quite the journey this season.
Both emotionally and at the end there, physically.
Professionally, too. Physically.
Yeah. True. He climbed the ladder.
He climbed the ladder real good. He probably more than anybody actually accomplished a lot of what he set out to do in season one.
Specifically.
Single-oriented.
Oddly enough, he's probably the most successful character.
Yeah. So what did Scout do? Yeah. What did Toph do? Nothing. 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 Dom Paragon? Child's play. Red Manuel? He got things done. Caught the Nomad.
Look out, El Rey.
That's right.
What an amazing turn, like, just us on this show. We've gone from Red Manuel to, yeah, Red Manuel!
Were grumbling about it. It was with love. I mean, he was one of the most fun characters to watch throughout the entire season, no matter how shaken we were.
He's one of those, and then there is that guy characters.
Well, since we're already there, let's talk about a little bit of Red Manuel's arc, because he did have what seemed to be an arc this season. I know we here at the table would go back and forth. He's always fun to watch, but we would always kind of go back and forth a little bit on whether or not he was a redeemable character. would you like to speak to a little bit about how, sort of, as Red Manuel was going back and forth between comedic and more villainous, like, how your performance sort of changed with those nuances?
Right. When we first recorded Nomad, Red Manuel was like, all right, he's the butt of everybody's joke. Like, that's how it was. And we recorded most of it, like, in a day. And it was so weird. It's like, all right, we're getting into episode 9 now. And I was like, okay. I mean, like, he's in 1, he's in 2. He's not there for a little bit. He comes back, says a line. It's like, ah, Red Manuel can give you a really good massage. And then, like, he hasn't been heard of since, like, 6. You see him for, like, a second. It's like, he has feelings. And then 9 comes around. And it's like, all right, you shoot the Nomad. And I was like, oh. All right, that's pretty cool. I didn't know. Like, the whole time, I was like, I didn't know I was going to be the villain. That's awesome! So when it happened, I was like, man, how am I going to make this idiot not sinister? And then, but I had no idea they would animate him with such swagger. When that happened, I was like, wow, I sound awesome. Oh man, but it was so fun because I don't normally get to play villains, and if I do, they're normally just shouty types. So this was a really cool experience where I get to be like sinister, you know, and he has like everything going on. He has a life and he just wants to succeed, but I guess he has to beat the bad guy to succeed, right? But God, yeah, episode 9, that's where it all went there. And then with the last episode, it's like, all right, so this is your moment with Scout, and this is your like line where she just called you a jerk, and your life is just, it just, you just clicked, and it's like, oh my God. It was great. And then I get launched out of the cannon, and my that last line, you, it's like, Lin-Manuel is not that, and then just gets knocked out. It was so fun. It was so fun to be Red Manuel, and being a villain, I just didn't expect it, and it was so fun to go there. So I hope he comes back.
I'd love to see Red Manuel again, just yeah, because of where we left him, and now we have the potential in the oh my God line. I can't do what you do. I mean, yeah. We'll see.
It's always nice when you get a character experiencing a moment of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that moment where everything just sort of clicks into place for him. It's validating in a lot of ways, especially for a character that dips his toe both into the comedic and the villainous route. You're like, oh, maybe it gives him another dimension, another layer. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of fun to watch as well.
I'm glad.
So kind of speaking to that point, you both have worked very, very hard on this show, and it definitely shows.
Yes.
Like this, yes. This season was a complete treat. Did you guys have a favorite episode that you worked on?
I'll just let him go first.
Podcasting.
You guys probably know my favorite episode. It's the last time I was on. Episode 10.
Probably when he got promoted, that was one of my favorites, where it's like he's just demanding so much and no one cares. No one cares. Talks about the streamers, it's like, bah!
No. I ain't moving like, nothing.
It's like, done! That was not my favorite line.
Aww.
Yeah, like it's like...
Mom left me in charge.
It's like, that... Respect. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Top three things he needs. Number one is respect, all right? Move those streamers.
Two and three, also respect.
Yes. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Mm-hmm.
Top three
respect,
things.
Respect, and I have feelings.
Yeah. respect, validation.
Yeah.
Respect for feelings.
Respect for feelings, that's the one.
So yeah, Molly, last time you were on the show, yeah, we got to talk to you a little bit about work on what seems to be your favorite episode of this season.
Episode 10. Mm. Yeah, I'd say my favorite.
So you've been working, you've been handling the storyboarding by yourself, but when it came to the finale, you mm-hmm. worked with
Al.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like collaborating with him?
It was... really nice because he actually did the first two parts of the episode, so he did all of the crowd scenes for me, which is great. Yeah. And it was interesting, like picking up where someone else had just had to put it down, and seeing kind of what the thought process was, because it was already kind of pieced together by the time I got it. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to see where all those moving pieces had to come together. Episode 11, we already had scenes of the Oasis, and then there's a big battle at the end of the episode. So you see like a little bit more of, I think it was the slums area is like where all the fire was.
Yeah,
everybody's houses were.
Our homes!
Not the gigantic mansion on the hill. So yeah, it was... it was nice. My favorite, too, because I was just rewatching the season to refresh or whatever. Mm. Very first episode starts with Red Manuel, or ends with Red Manuel with a sheet over him. And then the very beginning of episode 12, he's got the sheet.
Him. Yeah.
And that was
call back
circle.
Underrated.
was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys. I wanted to know because a lot of what you guys do is pulled directly from the script. But like, were you guys given any sort of amount of creative freedom in terms of what you were creating, both for the character and for the page?
In the sense of freedom, just how far I could do it. Because when I was set on fire, it's like, yeah, give us a couple of yells. And it's like,
ah! Were you able to improvise any lines?
The one thing I could have improvised was probably in the last episode when Red Manuel was giving like his speech about it's like no one respects him and all this, and then he's talking about his mom, and it's like, "Ay, mijito, you know, it's like I can't believe it. You are your only captain and not king or whatever." Like, that was just like, to me, I'm like, this is how my mom talks to me, and this is my impression of my mom. No offense to my mom, but like, I mean, you know how when you do an impersonation of your parents, when it's like you're explaining it to your friend. In this case, your enemy.
Your frenemy.
Yeah. Your captive audience.
Yes. Anyone who will listen.
That would have been a perfect time for the button.
Nah, that's fine.
Come on.
Yeah, we're busy here at
Yeah. Molly, was there anything over the course of the season that you were really happy in terms that you boarded that they ended up keeping?
I think we talked about it last time, but in terms of like what I get to add, it's like unnecessary critters, and then I get like that first round of character designs, basically. So episode 5 with like the quote unquote Gabe Grumps as the villains for those were like my favorite. I'm trying to think of like a new one for that, and no, I can't think of anything, of course, but yeah, those are great.
When you remember in 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I'll be texting you guys. Like,
speaking of, we have a great overarching story for this season and a lot of good character arcs. But one of the things we get when the series is a little bit more episodic is we get a lot of great one-off bandits and bounty hunters. So I want to go around the table. Guys, who was your favorite one-off baddie?
Sure if it's the Undertaker or Big Jim. Although I did love the ranch hand, but that is the soft spot for voice actors. Part of me going, but Brooke.
Yes, absolutely.
Man, so the Undertaker is definitely a classic, but our big top band or bounty hunters,
yeah, they were
especially
a lot of fun.
Our clown friend with the fountain, man.
Jeez, it's hard to pick. I've been watching a lot of episode 5 lately, so the Undertaker kind of sticks out. But I like the frankness of Jib, of Big Jib.
Yeah,
just like
just find it unprofessional.
Yeah, Big Jib. Name tag. And also name tag. Like, professional.
But did you see that Medium Steven was also written on the body bag?
Yeah.
I loved it. You have your priorities. You keep yourself organized. That's how you're successful.
If you jet yourself into a situation as a bounty hunter, you want everybody to know who you are and what you represent. I wanted to say we had big, medium. Who was the small bounty hunter?
Music box friend.
No, he's not
bounty hunter.
No, but could you see him joining that though?
I mean, yeah, he attack. He attack.
He attack.
He fail his stealth check.
Aww. He died.
He did.
That doesn't rhyme. Yeah. It doesn't rhyme and it doesn't scan. Come on, Mark.
Make it work.
Memes, Mark.
For me.
Excuse my man.
He's dead like Red.
Red survived being launched out of a cannon. I'm pretty sure he's going to be fine.
He's immortal. That's my headcanon.
He broke a stone wall with his body. I think he's okay.
The magic was inside him all along.
And now it's outside. It's a little bit over there, a little bit over there. It's
maybe
red
magic
wall.
Was the friends we made along the way.
Al Ray will never find it.
For me, my favorite one-off bandits were definitely the nearsighted bandits.
Yeah. Yeah. Take a hostage?
Bandit Lee Eddy is my new favorite thing. Absolutely.
So Lee Eddy.
It's a regular robbery product.
I mean, I can neither confirm or deny legally.
She has stolen our hearts. There we go.
That's nice.
It's a regular robbery.
Good
on
cover.
The train.
How about you guys? Yes. Favorite one-off bounty hunters?
I think for me it would have to be the ranch hand, just because of the small conversation you made with the people. It's like, where'd you get that arm? It's like, oh, I got it over at the southern border. It's like, and they just talked for like hours. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
And we appreciate cut back there with, well, that's all the jokes I know. Yeah. Was this a 3-hour conversation or a 3-minute conversation before this point? How many jokes does the ranch hand know?
They're probably all hand jokes.
No.
Well, I mean, he thinks it's handy. Oh, no. You really put your finger on it.
No.
Come on, that was heavy hand.
Golf clap.
Yeah. We're strong arming the panel into this.
Favorite bounty hunter
I'll go
bandit.
For an hour out of if you the, let me. Don't let me.
The bounty hunters, the medium Steven joke was the most, I feel like this entire season was the most underrated joke because I laughed when I read it in the script and it's just like a half a second thing on screen. And it was just like, oh, that's so funny. Why is no one talking about it?
We've been just, but that's why I like how straightforward Jim is, because like, I don't think you'd appreciate medium Steve.
Yeah.
It's gotta be everything. It's gotta be the whole thing. Respect the dead. I find your candor very inappropriate.
Be professional.
Be professional.
Yeah. Al and Eddie are both in chat, because of course they are, and mm-hmm. Al says his favorite bounty hunter is my brain! And Eddie says, RIP my brains guy.
Oh no.
Well, we've already talked about how, yeah, some of the people on the train are some of our favorite extras.
It wasn't an invitation to hear your life story.
You don't have some tragic backstory, do you?
Is that what I missed? Some more context?
I mean, maybe. but the maybe that's the story that we're not seeing, is that they didn't want to tell Toth anything because they were like, oh, wait, no, all of our crimes.
No. I ain't seen nothing, but I wish I did.
I need something to say in this conversation.
I just want to be included.
Oh,
so
no,
hard. You killed Mark.
I'm done.
Go ahead. Rewatching all of these episodes all in a row today, because sometimes that's what you do to prepare. You marathon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There were a couple of things that I put together going from episode to episode, and all I can think of that I don't think we addressed is Bliss Hill mm-hmm. talking about how everything was fine until the water dried up. When did the reservoir and the oasis go up? And did that affect Bliss Hill's water situation? Oh. Because Bliss Hill is close enough for them to be able to drop everything and make it to a party that evening.
It's like an Owen's Lake Bed situation. Ooh.
I would not be surprised if the reason that Bliss Hill dried up is because of the oasis. And I did not put that together until 4 p.m. today. Like, what?
There was something I had noticed rewatching the episodes today myself. So in the flashback episode with Melinda, mm-hmm. Her dad calls her Flower.
Wildflower.
Oh. In episode 2, Dom Paragon calls Scout Wildflower.
Yeah. And it's a wildflower.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that. And wow. I was like, wow.
And in episode 1, the Nomad gives the Scout a little flower. And then
that,
it burns
that
up.
That was its purpose. Its purpose was to go be a gift.
Yeah.
My God.
You monsters.
I see the lines connecting.
Welcome.
We're all just like in front of a conspiracy board all red thread.
It's Sheriff is 30.
It's Red Manuel. Look!
Red Manuel.
Perfect. Thank you.
Molly's sitting here going, they know too much.
Gotta get out of here again.
They've seen my board.
Before we move on, because I want to talk character arcs for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. It's the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. And guys, we know we also have an international audience. So if you guys, but we don't get to see those in iTunes. So if you guys have a comment, take a screen cap of it and put it in the hashtag RTR reviews. We'll give you a shout out on the show. You guys are the best, and we love you. So thank you so much.
And I'll tell you in a
there's
minute.
There's not.
Not okay. There aren't. That's okay.
Really?
I came prepared.
After we called out Germany last time.
We did. We did. Germany, this is on you.
Germany.
How dare you.
Eddie says, Don Paragon is Scout's dad, confirmed.
I mean.
Damn it,
he does have a wig.
That means she's an orphan now.
She actually, may have been an orphan this whole time.
Actually, that just brought up a really interesting point to me. Usually, like, the powdered wig is sort of like a sense of stature and everything. But when you rip off the wig, he still has white hair. Like, that's just interesting to me.
It's aesthetic, Mark. God.
Yeah. I just need to fill that out a little bit more.
He might just be a platinum blonde.
The top. Them hair plugs didn't.
He's just like take. Steve Martin. It's okay.
How dare you? 1970.
It's a power wig, all right?
It's a power, yeah. Powder power wig?
Yeah.
Real
yeah.
talk. I have never had any idea how old Steve Martin actually is. His hair has been white since
his entire life. He's been Silver Fox since, like, 73.
Yes.
Wow. He and John Mulaney are immortals.
They are ageless beings.
Yeah.
But we were talking a lot about sort of watching this season as a whole and seeing a lot of callbacks from the final episode to the first episode. And, yeah, so let's talk about Scout a little bit. Guys, this is such a cute character arc. Because when we meet her, she's literally carrying all the books that she owns just in case
it's like something a 12-part wilderness survival guide. It's like the Encyclopedia Britannica.
And may I say, Volume 1 looks like Elray's eye.
Does it?
Yeah. Because it's a yellow circle with a Roman numeral 1 in it, and I was like, what happens to that book? And as far as I know, she
disappears.
She stuffs it back into the bag.
Yeah.
But, like.
But. Oh my god.
My god.
The thing is, El Rey found that power. I'm like, so what is.
Knowledge is power.
Power corrupts, well, study yes. hard, be evil.
But, like, I wonder if that'll get touched upon, like, when they, I guess, eventually defeat El Rey. Mm. Like, if they'll realize it's like, oh, who really is the mastermind or whatever.
I'm telling you, we're going to have a Majora's Mask situation where we defeat El Rey and then the crown comes off and transforms into some awful creature and they have to beat back.
It's just going to sprout little critter legs.
Little critter legs. Mark and I have already talked about this, all right? This is going to be Mario Odyssey, like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
It's going to be evil Cappy.
And then he'll sing a song.
And it's going to be the best thing of the entire season.
Yeah. Oh, and it's the God. Only time a musical number will be performed, and then no one will ever talk about it. No one will address it. Like,
it's the one time we hear the Nomad's voices in song. The Nomad can only speak in song.
No, not just song. Elaborate musical numbers.
Wait.
Where's the musical episode? Where's the musical episode? Where's the musical episode?
So wait.
Where is it?
We're getting there.
Are you guys proposing that this is like going to be like that scene in Shape of Water where he can only sing in his imagination and he has a beautiful voice?
No, it should just be the scene in Cannibal musical where it's just like the tap dance part and it's just like Nomad's part where he's just tap dancing and then it goes back to somebody else. Like, he doesn't sing at all.
Or Scout and Red Manuel sing.
Yeah, there you go.
Or it's like Knights of the Round Table where it's the one person going
ideas. I like these ideas, you guys. Andy, write these down.
I thought of something morbid.
And you know music is magical.
So you've seen the show.
Just thinking about the musical and how the Nomad would even sing. What if, like, what if he got like a knife and like so he'd have a mouth. It's fun.
Leave.
That was
what? My son!
He would do it himself.
No!
Better!
That's why I said it was morbid!
Alejandro, no!
Look!
Okay, but mouth does not apply vocal cords? Mm.
Look, he's magic!
Slaps the straw together.
Why didn't he just draw a mouth then?
Drawing it would be cute as hell.
The drawing
a little happy face would be adorable.
That would be super cute.
Yes. But yeah, no, if he took a knife and jaggedly cut a grin into his face,
he wouldn't know
how I got these scars.
He wouldn't feel it. His limbs have come off.
This is coming from the man that shot him. That's what I'm
saying. We have an official request for the button from Eddie himself, so if you'd be so kind.
Shut up, Redman.
Thank you. He literally said, shut up, Redman. Like, I can't not.
Look, you guys asked me to be on this show.
It was you guys.
Oh, man.
I'm
sorry. We don't want to stifle anybody's creativity.
I mean, we kind of do.
Look, I'm an actor. I'm not a writer.
Character arcs. Huh?
Yes, character arcs.
We started on Scout's cute character arc.
Wait, wait, we better go. Well, and I love getting to see a character like Scout too. Not only does she get to have a character arc where, you know, by the end of it she's literally swinging to the rescue and launching people out of cannons.
Just like, I didn't do anything. Oh my goodness, I shot Red Manuel out of cannon.
And Elizabeth does such a great job too.
Yeah.
But like, it's so fun watching this character have this arc while at the same time like talking about those parallels. In the very first episode, the Nomad wanted her to address him as friend. And then here at the close, you know, she's like, okay, well, do you want to be partners? And he's like, no, friends. And it was just
hostages.
Hostages for life.
Hostages for life.
Hostage shipping?
But I really love it, too, because we don't get, in terms of Rooster Teeth shows, we haven't gotten a whole lot of LGBT characters. And Scout is an excellent example of an LGBT character, and I'm really excited to see if that ends up going anywhere. But then Toph has to go and break my heart. So... Yeah.
With her fist.
She does.
Let's talk about Toph a little bit, too, because she is just as interesting a character arc, if not... a little bit more so, because she's a little bit more complex in terms of her characterization, because she's locked into what she wants and will do anything and, you know, at all costs, that's what she's going to do. But at the same time, you know that she's not heartless or as ruthless as Red Manuel.
What?
Yeah.
That's right. Her stabbing knives.
Then again,
even that one,
she is.
Especially that
maybe
one.
Maybe she is, because she did throw an axe at Scout.
I mean, in her general direction.
Hashtag priorities.
Yeah. Very career focused.
Very,
yeah.
Very.
So I don't think it's... Yeah, like Toph is... I am excited to see her Zuko moment. turns towards the light. But it's hard... when you completely understand where a character is coming from, very career focused, I guess
best
I would say
yeah.
Family focused as well, because she's trying to do what's right for her people.
Yeah, I'd say Red Manuel is the more career focused one, where she's very much, I am doing this because you promised to help my people.
But Red's also doing it for his family. So
well. Doing it for respect, right? My family.
Your daughter, respect.
The list. No. Come on, man.
That's right, the list.
My daughter, my wife, my mother, none of them respect me.
You're Nowhere's version of Rodney Dangerfield.
Becca Lee says, Red shot a gun in Scout's general direction.
I didn't kill him.
Like, on one hand, okay, terrible. We get why you're doing this. On the other hand, you straight up tried to do a murder.
No, yeah. It's fine.
No, it's not.
I was just doing it for the Don.
Cool motive, still murder.
Exactly. Look, thank you.
Look, she was a traitor. Okay, it's fine.
I did love that he's like, oh man, I'm gonna feel bad about killing this girl, and then he's like, oh, this is wonderful. I'm vindicated.
I love that.
I don't think he felt bad about killing her so much as it was like, I thought I was gonna have to make up some convincing story, and now I don't have to. My honor is clean. I don't have to lie.
You're Thank still you so much.
He could have still just ditched her, like, cause you know what I mean. Like the Nomad was already passed out. He could have just taken him and just left her, but he took her back with him.
He could have done the Sparta pit kick and put her down with him.
Yeah, but now I got two for one.
It is kind of interesting that when the big commotion is going along with the Nomad making his escape, that Red Manuel goes after Scout instead of the Nomad. Hmm. It's like. Feel like he was intentionally picking on her because that was a fight he thought he could win.
Oh yeah,
episode one, like the first like line of dialogue with Red Manuel is making fun of Scout, like giving her trouble, and then Toph like stood up for her. So
yeah,
one of my favorite things in that scene is Red apparating, because it's a shot of all of the dandelions. Quick cut back to Toph, right back in Red Manuel's parting the crowd. That, or maybe he's there and we just didn't notice.
He backed up. He just like pushing the people back. Out of the way.
He was waiting for his entrance.
It's like all he does is push people out of the way. He's like, come up. I think episode 2 he does the same thing. He should, like, pushes everyone out of the way, out of the crowd, and be like, excuse me.
It's my turn.
Yeah.
He has to enter the conversation like Kramer. If there is no doorway, he will make a people doorway.
Everything is planned. I swear he has someone hired. Just in the corner, off shot, playing that guitar. That's where it is.
Because air horns have not been invented in Nomad World yet.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's like when a DVD or a movie goes from 4x3 to 16x9 and you see more. Yeah. On the Blu-ray, we'll be able to see right off screen.
The guy. See, you can't see him right now.
So yeah, right, there's two guys. There's a horn and a guitar, or one really multitasking dude.
He's really talented.
It's like Bert from Mary Poppins.
So, like, are there deleted scenes of Red Manuel planning his entrances and just waiting off on the side for minutes at a time? Just be like, what am I going to say when I step into
the ring? That's why it takes him so long to get in there, because he's got to think, like, he's going to wait for the right way to, like, intros, like, if I can, like, no, get in there.
Yeah.
He practices his one-liners in front of the mirror. His wife makes fun of him.
Aww.
Yeah. I'm waiting for an episode or just like a little special of Red Manuel, all from the perspective. And it's like, all right, now. It's like, ha-ha!
I would love tiny webisodes of Red Manuel and his many failed entrances before he actually manages one. Like, why wasn't Red Manuel in this episode? He was! He just never got dialogue because he kept missing his cue.
He couldn't find a dramatic enough moment to enter.
He's
the
like,
scene.
The lighting wasn't right.
Well, as we all did our homework today, watching Marathon of Nomad, like episode 1, I think when he steps forward, Toph's line is, oh, Red Manuel wants to do this old song and dance early today. So there's potentially like a million other adventures they want on that just failed to find the Nomad, and that's like perfectly. He had so many chances to get this right, and now it's like old hat. Like that's like what he does.
He's got it down.
Yeah. I bet when she said that, he's like, "Dang, I came early."
Al says, "Red versus Q," which I love you. New favorite. Thank you.
Now I'm just imagining all the dandelions, and this is why they're so annoyed with him. In their downtime, he just makes them stand there so he can find the perfect positioning to push them all apart. Like, arranges them around.
I mean, later on with the whole, if Red Manuel was in charge of this mission, we'd have found the Nomad already. I say that a lot. All the time. So this is not abnormal for Red Manuel.
It's great.
Did anybody else, like, going back to the beginning, did anybody else look at the number of dandelions and go, like, wait a minute, how many of you did Don Paragon kill?
Many.
I think in that first group, one of those guys gets stabbed in episode 6.
The ginge.
Mm-hmm. One guy gets a snake in his boot.
Yeah, and then there's the two that get captured in 11, and I don't think they show up later, and those are different guards later on. So...
I think we have the traveling dandelions, and then we have the guard dandelions, mm-hmm. and you can tell the difference from the helmets, because none of the travelers have helmets.
It's too hot. You're traveling.
And also, by the time
Toph... It's like the scout corps versus the military police.
By the time Toph keeps failing and failing and failing, Dawn just seems to be limiting her resources.
Oh, yeah.
I'm giving you less people... Take the basics. Take your three main boys, and do what you can. I'm keeping everybody else here.
And that's why at the very end, when he takes those final three away, that's
no,
not the three amigos.
Yeah,
our three men. What are they going to do now that presumably the Don's gone. Like, I guess they still serve Toph, or do they?
Well, talk about character development for the entire season. I think the three most well-developed characters who needed no arc whatsoever was, like, almost, like, meta, knew too much what was going on.
Yeah, and especially Jethro, this is one of his jobs is his second job.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the water's flowing a little bit more freely, you can... build out that parlor, have a proper massage business.
Yes. Make himself a spa.
Yeah.
But I feel like Santi is like a side poet. Like that's why he's like always like just saying when Santi's like, oh, that's a good one, I gotta write that down. And then is it Null's the third one?
Yeah.
I feel like he just needs socialization, so he just follows them around.
He just needs somebody to complain to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. someone just so he could be like, that's stupid. Like, I would never watch that anime. It's garbage.
But since he turned it on,
it's like, how do you know it's garbage? I watched 3 seasons of it. That's how I know.
He made sure that Santi learned to read so Santi could watch the subs with him because he watches subs.
He has very strong opinions about
sub versus dub. We're not starting that here. I love them all equally. But in terms of character arcs and the dandelions, we went from these moral quandaries are above our pay grade in episode 1 to this is south of our usual moral compass in episode, what was it, like 9?
Aggressively.
10?
Like, they get worried when, you know, and that must not be the first time they've seen Toth get violent, but like probably violent to a certain amount of people, because they make comments about it in I want to say episode 3 when they go drop off the water for the oil. Mm-hmm. And they're like, whoa, what's up with her? Like, she's anything to get the nomad or whatever. And then is it episode 9 where they find the train and they're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, it's one thing when she punches the ticket taker who is probably a serial killer. But like, it's a completely different thing when you're manhandling people who were just in a train crash who like didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm.
Some of them didn't even see anything. But they wish they did.
They wish they did.
The side episode that I want to see is the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead from the perspective of our three amigos, because we've been saying it a couple of times. They've seen Toph make that speech. They've heard Red Manuel say that. What are the first couple of adventures where they've seen that? Like, what? How much have they seen and just kind of gone along with? And why is it now when the Nomad actually shows up, they start to grow conscience?
Filler episodes. We need them.
I'm about it. I asked Jordan at RTX, they're like, we're not doing holiday episodes. So I'm like, you don't have to do holiday episodes, but you can do it.
We'll just do like
tiny little 2-minute webisodes.
Chibi Nomad or something.
Yeah.
Chibi Nomad. Where it's just the little critters in their own little sitcom situation.
They recreate the entire thing.
Oh my god.
They dress up
it's
as
the
them.
Ever Island Players, but with critters.
So it's entirely in silence, and then
yeah,
that's a season 1 recap.
There's this piece of red shale that's Red Manuel.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the shape of a hat.
or no, it's just a red hat, and you find out afterwards that they just brought his hat to life.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great. It's cool, though, in terms of character arcs, though. I think episode 9, we get a little insight of what Scout's life was before she met Toph. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you're looking at Scout and you're looking at Toph in terms of like character development this season, you know, she went from feeling completely useless and klutzy back wherever her hometown was. And then Toph kind of found her and picked her up and gave her a motive and like a reason to try harder. And you're asking this person who's so loyal and, you know, possibly has feelings for this person to completely change everything that you just fought for. And, like, you're that's, like, you know, her career and, like, her way of life. And there's, like, that moral compass there. And then I would say, like, that's similarly with Toth, you know, trying to do stuff with her people. And she's just, like, this is what it's always been. I have to, like, do this for this reason. And you're asking kind of both of them the same thing, like, what would you do? Like, moral compass here. I mean, she definitely sees it, but she's so, like, Toph is just so one-sided. Like, I can't think of this guy being okay because he's, like, my one ticket out of this thing. So, and then Scout just being like, you know, like, with the baby bird in episode 7, and just being like, this is what I need to do, but gosh darn it, I just can't do it.
The one of my favorite things about this season as a whole is the way they rub off on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Scout becomes more confident, and Toth ultimately, you know, nothing's going to stop her, but she's willing to take different approaches every now and then. And even in that penultimate episode, you know, she realizes, like, I needed you, my friend, and I was foolish to think that I didn't need you.
I don't like who I am when you're not here.
Yeah.
She's just like, yep, leave me here to die.
Ultimately, one of the things that I like about Scout is something that I like about other characters that are so inherently good that they don't change their behavior at all, but other people that are close to them realize how good they are, and it starts to rub off, and they start to go, they're a good person. I'm going to be a good person too. And I think Scout and the Nomad are both just such inherently good characters that eventually we'll start to see that, because we saw with the Three Amigos, Toth is still a harder nut to crack, but it'll eventually get there where everybody's just like, yeah, let's just be good people.
They inspire people to be better.
Yeah,
the Izuka Midoriya effect.
I was gonna say the Lone Ranger effect, but nobody saw that movie except for me. So.
Well, we are running short on time, so really quickly, guys, if you could have anything, what would you like for season 2?
Red Manuel.
Red Manuel redemption arc?
I would really like Red Manuel to join the Nomad and Scout as like a little, like as an idiot.
He's trying to be good?
Like just him have like a one-off episode where it's just him and he's miserable with his family and he's like, I need to change my life. And then like, he just goes off with Scout and the Nomad. He's like, all right, I've changed my ways. I'm done.
But then he becomes Scout's platoon girl, right, so to speak, just to try to be like a better person. Like, I'll be your person.
He gets the guitar. He can't afford the guy anymore, so he's got to play his own music. So he's the bard.
It's like, bard. Oh, Scout, would you like me to play for you?
No. It's like he plays his own.
He can only play Smoke on the Water.
Wonderwall.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
Yeah.
Any request?
You only know Wonderwall, and we heard that 30 times.
It's my favorite song.
Show Wonderwall?
Yeah. And then I went just...
Molly, if you could do anything, what would you like for season 2?
Red Manuel.
Perfect.
I want to remember Red Manuel back.
You heard it here. More Red Manuel, please.
Eddie, please, Eddie.
Gay Chameleon in chat says, I require lesbians in season 2.
Yo.
Beast Wars fan wants an episode where Red Manuel pretends to work with Scout and Nomad, only they know he's fake. And TMET Country Dragon wants Izuku and Nomad friendship art, which I need.
Yeah,
to
bring both of yours together is we're presented with the idea that Red is faking it and trying to get it, but he's like, no,
he's being legitimate.
He's being
earnest.
Oh my god,
you called me a jerk. I'm trying to make myself better.
It really hurt.
That hit me right in the corazón.
Thank you guys again for joining us. Where can people go if they want to keep up with you and all of your upcoming projects?
And memes.
And those dank memes.
Twitter. Twitter at Flood, EHFLOOD.
Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch as Keggy Films, KAGGY Films. I normally post when I upload videos, stream, or make an announcement about some anime I'm in.
Well, again, thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Pleasure.
This is great.
I can't wait for whenever we hear more news about season 2. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys again for a spectacular season 1 and for joining us tonight.
Yeah,
thank you.
Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. If you like reaction videos for these, they live on that YouTube channel. And I was also just talking about My Hero Academia yesterday on ABTV Anime, also on this AfterBuzz Animation channel. So go check that out.
I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. You can also find me over at twitch.tv with the Inventory Full team at Inventory Full PT. We stream games and talk games whenever we can.
And I'm part of that channel as well. We did a couple of streams this past week. WW2K came out. If you're a wrestling fan or not, I crowdsourced a wrestler, and he's just the weirdest boy. So keep an eye out for that and the other streams that we're going to be doing. This, and just as a teaser, this may not be the last piece of Nomad of Nowhere stuff that we do until season 2. Ooh. So make sure to follow us at The Rooster Team. Make sure to subscribe to our personal podcast feed, our Ruby show that we do called Welcome to Vale, which is a crossover of Welcome to Night Vale and Ruby. And tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam to help support
sale.
Us.
It's on sale.
Oh yeah,
right,
we have
now.
Sale stuff right now. Logo stuff. I hate the ships you like. some Nomad stuff.
Only
that's
Papas.
That's going to be coming up.
Only Papas.
Yeah, only Papas. Only Papas. I love potatoes. Only Papas.
Solamente Papas. And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Menguin. That's TheMenguin. Again, thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you all next time.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.